Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net. It streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, he is so new that he just figured out where Substation 2 is. This is the new interim president for Winthrop University, Dr. George Hind, and we certainly appreciate you being here today and sashaying over from the main campus. And fortunately, you didn't get hit by any of the cars up and down Cherry Road, did you?
No, and we crossed illegally, too, so I probably shouldn't share that with everybody, but I'm going to take the crosswalk back. Manning, thank you very much for having me here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're pleased to have you here on your very first day,
yep.
Which I guess technically was yesterday, right?
Yes, that's correct. I had a four-hour tour across campus, learned a lot about the campus and the beauty that we have here.
So how did all this come about? I mean, do you do interim presidencies? Is that your background?
No, and it was not a career aspiration either, I will tell you that. I was president at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan for 3 years, had a great experience there. After my contract expired, I thought, you know, I have two more years to get my daughter through University of Georgia and pay out-of-state tuition. So I thought a brilliant solution would be to take an interim dean position at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, which I did. And after the first year, they decided to ask me and invite me to stay on a second year as the interim provost. And I thought, that's even better, because then my daughter really will graduate, no debt. And I thought it would be a wonderful segue to retirement. So I retired in June of 2019 from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And lo and behold, this opportunity was presented, and I am very excited to be here for the next 28 months.
Well, good for you. And besides, you would get bored in retirement anyway.
That's what happened. Nine months was way too long.
There you go. Absolutely. I hear that so many times. So Winthrop is a well-established university. What is it, 125 years old now?
1886.
Yeah. Ooh, long time. Too early for you to tell what's right, what's wrong, what your battle plan is going to be, I would guess?
Well, I'm familiar with Winthrop. I was the provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at the College of Charleston. And I was there from basically 5 years. I arrived there in 2010 and had an opportunity to get to know Winthrop through, I met Tony DiGiorgio, met Deborah Boyd, and got to know them through the Commission for Higher Education. And at that point in time, became much more aware of the history of Winthrop, as basically it started out as a normal school, teacher training, became a wonderful liberal arts institution, just like the College of Charleston. And that was one of the draws of taking this interim position, was I'm familiar with South Carolina, I'm familiar with small universities and the challenges they have, and I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to contribute to Winthrop moving forward after President Mahoney has taken his position.
So we are, it's interesting, we had Tony DiGiorgio, who was the president here, I think, for 24 years.
Yes.
And we had a misstep on one of the presidents, we'll just leave it at that. And then Dan Mahoney was here, and of course his contract was not renewed, and he moved on. So I'm wondering, in your line of work, is it uncommon to have this kind of transition this early? I know that the DiGiorgio, 24 years, is very unusual for a college president.
Right.
But what is the standard now?
Well, that's a really, I think, incredibly important question, and I appreciate you asking it. In years past, college presidents or university presidents, they might be, like DeGiorgio, a president for two decades or even more. But over time, boards of trustees have required more of presidents, expected more. And the mean term of an appointment now for a university president is somewhere around 8 years. 4 years, 3 years, not being uncommon. 12 years would be an extremely long run for a college president in this day and age. And with the rapid turnover of university presidents, particularly considering the fact that individuals in their 70s are now retiring at a greater frequency, boards of trustees are looking to hire interims for maybe some short-term changes and to fill the gaps that may occur between a permanent president and the next permanent president. And here at Winthrop, there are a number of things that likely need to be accomplished in the next 2 years. Highest among all the priorities, in addition, of course, to addressing deferred maintenance enrollment challenges, is the fact that SAC's accreditation needs to be accomplished in the next 2 years. And so part of my duties as the interim is to make sure we do that. At the same time, over that two-year period, essentially, need to really develop a budget model that takes into account likely demographics and enrollment projections over the next 5 to 10 years. That will help the university invest its resources in meaningful ways that impact the students. So interim presidencies, interim provosts, interim deans, interim department heads are not as uncommon as they used to be.
Well, you've got your hands full then, because I believe we're nationwide, we're kind of in a dip right now, or about to go into a dip in terms of numbers of students who would be eligible to come to college. That's just fewer of them.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. And if you actually look at the birth rate back in 2008, as an example, and even before that, there was a dip in the birth rate. Well, the fact of the matter is, during that dip in the birth rate, you can start to anticipate the dip in the high school graduation rate. So what's happening is, and this is across the United States, the high school graduation rate is anticipated to be only about 3% over the next 5 to 10 years in the northern states. In the southern states, maybe 3 to 5% growth over 5 to 10 years, just in terms of the number of college eligible students. So what's happening, of course, universities continue to rely on enrollments for their budget model, but the fact of the matter is, with the slowing down of the high school graduations population, there's going to be increased competition for those students. So the demographics really argue against a growth model for most universities, except maybe Division I football teams, and we can think of the SEC and the Big Ten, where a winning season has a dramatic impact on applications and enrollments. Most universities can't rely on that to increase their enrollment or their applications. So there's some challenges ahead for many universities across the United States.
So maybe Winthrop needs to have a football team. No, just a joke.
And I think that we're going to keep it as a joke. I've read the report.
You've read the report. Good for you. So this makes all the universities and the colleges out there starting to compete very heavily for students. And I mean, that was very evident during the spring and summer months. When you know, turn on the radio, see the billboards, whatever. I mean, they're out there marketing digitally as well. You're into that game as well?
I mean, into marketing and recruiting?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And I think all universities need to do it. But there's a little bit of a trick to it. One needs to make sure as to what they are trying to market. And when we look at Winthrop, there's a number of things that I think characterize our identity. And our identity, we started out as basically a state normal school, training teachers. We have a tremendous reputation in training teachers. I can tell you from my own experience with Winthrop, and as I have learned more about Winthrop, we draw a lot of students for our performing and visual arts programs here, which I think is very unique in this state, to be honest with you. College of Charleston and a few other colleges in the state are trying to develop an identity in that arena. Winthrop already has that identity. We're increasingly attracting students who are interested in the STEM disciplines. And business, of course, always attracts students. Part of our challenge, I think, moving forward is we really need to make sure that we're clear about our recruitment message and we are clear about what students can expect when they get here. And I think it's imperative for the institution to really help students understand their academic path and how that academic path can prepare them for their career path. I think there's good evidence today, and we all know this. Most people, they change jobs 5 to 8 times over the course of their career. The value of a liberal arts education that's provided here at Winthrop is to expose students to the breadth of the liberal arts so that they are adaptive as they move through their various careers into the many different opportunities they might have. That's, I think, the message that should come from Winthrop, and we need to make sure students have an opportunity to learn more about that.
You talked about reaccreditation.
Yes.
Winthrop has always had the envious position of having all of its colleges nationally accredited. So does all this come at once, the reaccreditation?
That's a very good question. Many of the professional programs are accredited through their accrediting agencies. For instance, the College of Business. At many colleges across the country now are accredited by the AACSB, which is the accrediting body for colleges and schools of business. In fact, there's a team on campus right now evaluating the business programs here, and they will do their separate accreditation. They will submit a report, and I have no doubt that the College of Business will, in fact, retain their accreditation. SAC's accreditation accredits the institution. So it's really at the institutional level that SAC's accreditation is aimed at. The education programs have their own accrediting agencies, and many other of the programs have their own accrediting agencies as well.
I can only imagine
right.
what is involved with trying to assemble what is necessary
right.
for somebody to do a whole evaluation of the entire right. university.
Right.
That has to involve a lot of people. Internally and externally.
When I was first exposed to the details and necessity for accreditation, I was at another institution. I was teaching, I was a faculty member, and I really had no appreciation for what all was required. And I happened to, for some reason, walked into a large room. It was basically the size of an arena, and it was filled with file cabinets with paper copies of everything you could possibly imagine. And the accreditors, when they came to visit, they would go to file cabinets at random and pull out files to see if the files were complete and all of the necessary information was there. Literally, there must have been 50 file cabinets, at least 3 drawers high, filled with paper. Today, it's all done electronically, but of course, one typically needs to get all those electronic documents put into a format that's accessible online. So it is an enormous amount of work. We have people in our accrediting office that are skilled, that understand that. Our deans and department heads understand the necessity to make sure everything is shipshape, all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. And it's an enormous undertaking.
So now that you've had all of 24 hours, maybe 36 hours,
sure.
as the commander-in-chief, you talked about deferred maintenance. You know, Winthrop has one of the oldest college campuses in the whole state system.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten some money. I mean, Burns Auditorium is an example
right.
of what's underway. But overall, you could use bucket loads more.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of South Carolina,
right.
I don't think I can even remember when the last time was they had a bond bill. It's been at least 20 years, if not longer.
Yes.
So how do you go about tackling mm-hmm. What needs to be done over there? Because you've got to keep these buildings up.
Right. Well, the fortunate thing is that we have very good people in our finance and business office. Our board of trustees has definitely had their eye on the budget. And it provide the kind of, I think, oversight that is appropriate. Previous presidents at the university have done a good job sequestering money for deferred maintenance. Fact of the matter is, Winthrop University has about $122 million of deferred maintenance projects. That includes things that should be roofs that need repairing, buildings that need to be torn down, or new facilities that need to be built. We are now in the process of, we think, receiving about $10 million for deferred maintenance from the state. That will go to fix some of the highest priority items. And, of course, our facilities people do a marvelous job of maintaining a running record of what needs to be done and prioritizing all of the things that need to be done. The arena roof is leaking. The auditorium, the roof still needs some work there. We have a lot of projects that need a lot of attention. Having said that, if you go to the Commission for Higher Education's website and looked at the information on deferred maintenance, you will find that we're actually in better shape than some other state institutions.
Really?
It's probably not the best way to feel good about yourself, but I think we've done a very good job trying to stay ahead of all the challenges.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, Dr. Hine, we're going to introduce you to a tradition that we do here at Substation 2. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. And there's a magic way that we do it, and it's in the white letters on this big cue card that I have here. And we all say it together at the count of three, all right? Okay. See if you can handle this. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. There you go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Comporium Medical Alert.
It was important that my siblings and I recognized that Dad wanted to be independent, but we also wanted to be able to make sure that he was okay. So we started researching medical alert systems. Then we found this system. It's a little button that he can wear around his neck as a pendant or on his belt. He speaks directly into it, just like he's talking on a cordless phone.
But my kids and grandkids are the most important thing in the world to me. I don't like to ask for help, but it is nice to know that if I ever need it, it's just a touch of a button away.
For complete details, go online to comporiumalert.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Dr. George Hind, who has been the president, or call him interim president, of Winthrop University all of 36 hours. And he said he wanted to get on the show, and by golly, we got him on the show, and here he is. Okay, so in 36 hours, have you figured out what your 1, 2, 3 is on your priority list as far as Winthrop University?
Very much so. The first priority is to represent the university in the best possible light to our constituents, and by constituents, I mean our students, our faculty, and our staff. I need to reach out to the legislative delegation, make sure that they understand that we want to partner with them in advancing the educational experiences that we offer to our students. We also, as one of my highest priorities, want to reach out to the city of Rock Hill and all of the legislators and the government officials, certainly in York County, but also in the counties surrounding this area. One of my highest priorities is to make sure that everybody feels that Winthrop is their asset, but we are also their asset to building the communities that they desire. Also, I believe that through partnerships, we can forge with various constituents that we can provide work experiences that are related to our students' development. Academic development, and perhaps their professional careers. So looking very forward to getting out and representing the university. Other priorities certainly include developing a budget model that is based on hard data that provides us a pretty good window into what the next 3 to 5 years might look like, and then how we can best position our resources to address a number of things. High-quality programs that will provide the career opportunities for our graduates, but also provide resources to address the many things that we need on campus, not the least of which is deferred maintenance, but we need to address the need for scholarships. There are many priorities I think that we can address, but I think getting out, meeting people, communicating, being open to suggestions, and being open to dialogue will accomplish a lot in the next 28 months.
You know, you talk about scholarships, and the legislature is considering the governor's budget, and he's got, I don't know how many millions of dollars in there to go to all the state universities and colleges in return for them basically freezing the tuition rate.
Right.
I just wonder, I've always wondered this, why college tuition goes up at such a more rapid rate than Charlie Ruffalo's substation to subs here are advertising. What is it that drives that?
Well, I think it's a question everybody across the United States is wondering, because if you look at the ratio, or not the ratio, but the trajectory of tuition, it has far outpaced inflation, as an example, as one crude example. But one needs to keep in mind that universities are constantly dealing with deferred maintenance, and universities like Winthrop that are in existence over 100 years, they have huge deferred maintenance challenges. I think that's one consideration. Another consideration is only about 30%, 40% at most of state institutions, and by that I mean state institutions, not private institutions, have now returned to pre-recession levels of state support allocations. Right now, Winthrop receives about $20 million from the state to support our educational efforts. Pre-recession, pre-2008, Winthrop University received about $26 million. Now, the state has done a marvelous job trying to catch up, and these last few years, we have received more state appropriations. So most state institutions are struggling to develop a resource model that can accommodate the loss of revenue in the context of the need to keep tuition low. Winthrop has, by many measures, the highest tuition in the state, which is a stunning figure. So what we need to do is develop more supporters that can help us with our scholarships, work closely with our foundation, engage in fundraising to drive up the number of scholarships so that we can offer them to our well-qualified students to reduce their debt upon graduation.
So it's got to be more than just a function of having more scholarship dollars. Somebody's obviously going to be looking, or has been looking, at what is it that drives Winthrop University's overall costs to be more than whatever, the school. I mean, is there any data on that?
Well, there's lots of data. I think the challenge is trying to interpret the data. If you look at and this is not just Winthrop, it's across all the institutions in the state, we have added more academic programs than we've decommissioned. So I think many institutions are in the mode of adding programs that need faculty rather than repositioning resources that they might be able to use to either develop other programs. And I think that's one of the challenges we face. For instance, there's a wonderful report that's available on the Commission for Higher Education website. It's referred to as the Maher, M-A-H-E-R, and Maher Report. And they project for this area of the upstate, those careers that will have the highest employment opportunities over the next 5 or 10 years are in business, broadly defined, healthcare, and technology. So the question is, are we preparing students for careers in those areas? And the answer is, yes, we are. But how can we maybe do a better job of positioning our students so they have the educational experiences that can move them in the occupations that have the highest need as they graduate?
And, of course, Winthrop has been growing its online academic program,
yes,
which is an alternative.
Right.
I mean, you can save some money, but you're not going to cut your
right.
cost in half, but it does save you some money.
Right.
And do you see more of that coming
right.
along the line?
Yes, I do. In fact, online is, I think, it's really easy to think that online is going to be the savior for the universities and colleges' budget challenges across the nation. Fact of the matter is, online does generate resources, but it often doesn't generate the resources where you want. For example, our online programs at Winthrop University are actually increasing substantially, but the revenue that we're gaining from the online programs is actually less than if the students took the courses here on campus. So there's an offset on growing online and the resources that are generated. So one needs to look for a balance between online and on-campus
right.
programs.
All right, I saved the best for last. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do your sales pitch Winthrop University. What is it that's unique about Winthrop mm-hmm. that should cause mom and dads out there who may be looking at everything else across the
right.
landscape
right.
and not really realize what's right here in their own backyard? What would you tell them?
I would tell a parent that as their children or their future students are looking for a college experience, they couldn't find a more worthwhile experience than they will find at Winthrop. The fact of the matter is we have outstanding liberal arts and sciences programs. And just a little information along that line. Sometimes people wonder, well, if you get a liberal arts degree, are you kind of destined to a degree in the arts or a degree in philosophy that's not going to prepare you for lifelong career in one profession or another? Fact of the matter is the graduates of liberal arts degrees, there's a lot of data on this, actually in their peak earning years, which are typically in their 50s, earn more than students that graduate with professional degrees. In fact, the liberal arts graduate in philosophy earns more than all other liberal arts degree recipients. Wouldn't think that.
No, I wouldn't.
No. But the argument is that a degree in the liberal arts, and that means whether it's in the performing arts or in English or history or education, any degree in that area is going to prepare you for the multitude of occupations most people are likely to have as they move through their careers.
Well, Dr. George Hind, I thank you for being with us today. Welcome to Rock Hill. Look at that. The United States Congressman just walked in, and you're going to get to meet him live here on the air. But thank you very much for being here, and you ought to come down to his big soiree today down at the Gateway at about 6 o'clock. He's rolling out the ambassador, former ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, and it's going to be a big soiree for everybody. Have your wonderful day. Thank you for being with us, Doctor, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Manny.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Jerry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, the congressman knows how to do this, and you're learning, so we're going to do this together. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it, Ralph? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. We got it.